The National Highway Traffic Administration says more than 8 people are killed and more than 1,000 are injured by distracted drivers every single day. We're going to talk about the problem of distracted driving and what we can do about it this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 10th. Why can't we keep our hands on the wheel, our eyes on the road, and our minds on driving? Especially if we hear that little sound indicating that someone has sent us a message on our phones. Don't we realize how dangerous distracted driving is to ourselves and others? Have you seen an example of distracted driving? Will you admit to being a distracted driver? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dr. David Greenfield, founder of the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction and an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of Connecticut School of Medicine. He was recently quoted in a CNN article titled, "Driving While Distracted, Why Can't We Ignore the Pings?" Good morning.
Good morning.
So before we get into... What are the different types of distracted driving?
Well, distracted driving is a broader category that encompasses any activity that requires a multitasking behavior. So, in other words, it could be reaching to tune in your radio, for instance, to listen to the show while you're driving. Or adjusting your makeup while you're driving, or futzing with something on the seat or in the car. So there's, or dealing with your GPS on your, dashboard. So all of these things would fall under the category of distracted driving. However, most of the attention around distracted driving has now centered around the use of the smartphone because of the incredible number of accidents and deaths that have occurred related to the smartphones particularly, and because of the compulsive nature of our use of this technology when we're out of the car, which doesn't stop when we're in the car, despite, as you pointed out earlier, the obvious danger of it. Our research, I did a study with AT&T, and we found that 70-80% of people know that it's dangerous, yet that same 70, 80, if not higher, 90% will use some digital feature on their smartphone while they're driving. And I don't mean just talking on the phone on the Bluetooth.
Right.
I'm talking about answering a text or a social media. Or 17% of people that we surveyed admit to taking selfies while they're driving.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're not talking about just picking up the phone and checking a text that comes in, although if you think about how long it takes to pick up a phone, look at it, neurologically process it, respond if you're going to, and then putting it back down, you're talking about 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds. Do you know how far you'll travel at highway speed during that time?
Yeah, and because if somebody stopped in front of you, there you go.
You would be into them.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens. Or they swerve lanes and come into oncoming traffic.
Yeah. I was looking at some other statistics about, you always think of teenagers doing this. And in one recent survey, 27% of the teens were admitting to, even though it's mostly in every place against the law, still
yes.
report texting and driving. So,
correct.
Even though the dangers are out there and there are laws against it and you're going to get in big trouble if you do it, they do it anyway.
Correct.
So what's going on there?
Well, there's a long history. Yes, it is slightly more common among teenagers and young adults, and the consequences are a little bit greater among that group. probably because the frontal lobes of the brain are underdeveloped before you're 25 years old. So judgment is a little bit more impaired when you're younger, just neurologically. The neurobiology is just not there to support it. However, this is not limited to teenagers and young adults. Mm-hmm. It is done by adults as well. And there's a long history, and we know this in psychiatry, that there is a separation between knowledge and attitude and behavior. So all of us know things are dangerous and or not good for us, and we still do them. And there is a phenomenon called cognitive dissonance, and there's another phenomenon called rationalization or denial, that we pretend that we're going to beat the odds or beat the statistics, or, you know, this one time it won't happen. But essentially, it's Russian roulette. One time, something will happen. The question is when.
Yeah. So it's that attitude among adults, too, that, well, I'm a good driver, and I'm just going to do a quick check here, and all
right.
will be well. That happens to other people. It doesn't happen to me.
Correct. And that's very common. And what I'm saying is most of us and most of the people listening to this show have done it.
Yeah.
This is not like the other guy. This is all of us.
Right. And I'll be the first to admit it. I have done it. I have not actually, I don't know, texted while I'm driving to send somebody a text.
But you've picked it up.
But I picked it up. And I picked it up. I heard or even saw, because the phone was on my seat next to me, that I saw that, I got a notification.
Yeah.
Here. I see a message came in. And then I'd pick it up to glance. Who sent this? And maybe the...
Right. And there's a reason for that. That's a neurobiological phenomenon. And... the internet, I call the internet the world's largest slot machine, and I call the smartphone the world's smallest slot machine.
And the slot machines are addictive, aren't they?
They are. They're extremely addictive. And so what makes the smartphone the world's smallest slot machine? It's because all the information that comes through the internet, and the smartphone is basically a portabilized internet portal, all the information that comes through in the form of variable ratio reinforcement, which is exactly the same schedule of neurological reinforcement that a slot machine operates on. In other words, when you push the button or pull the handle on a slot machine, every once in a while, you will win. The two things you don't know are going to be when and how much. So in essence, what happens with all communication on a smartphone, whether it's social media or a text or email or some Reddit post or something you're looking up online or a Snapchat feed or an Instagram or anything that gets pushed through and that there's a notification, you don't know what it's going to be, and you don't know whether it's going to be something that's from somebody that's important or something that is important. And your brain wants to know that, because if it is something good, you'll get a little hit of dopamine, which is a neurochemical, pleasure neurochemical, that is associated with the midbrain, particularly the nucleus accumbens, which is in the mesolimbic system, kind of right dead in the middle of the brain, a part of the brain called the animal brain. So the reward circuitry for addiction, quote-unquote, or for any behavior that is highly, highly pleasurable is in this primitive old part of the brain, and that's what we're activating. Now, there's another phenomena that occurs when we get that notification. Like you said, when the notification comes in, what we know about dopamine is that there's a greater elevation of dopamine in the anticipation of checking something or looking for something that might elevate dopamine. So let's take a gambler, for instance, or a drug addict. The anticipation of buying that drug or getting the drug or walking into the casino actually can elevate dopamine even higher than winning or taking the drug. So you get two hits of dopamine, the anticipation, and then you get a secondary hit if it's in fact something that's salient or pleasurable for you.
We are talking with Dr. David Greenfield, the founder of the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction, an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of Connecticut School of Medicine. We are talking with him about the connection between internet addiction and distracted driving and why we continue to check our phones or use our phones or use our apps even though we know it's dangerous. So talking about driving while distracted and wondering if you are guilty or not guilty. 1-800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about distracted driving, driving while distracted, with Dr. David Greenfield, who is the founder of the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction. He was also interviewed for a recent article we found on CNN.com on why we can't ignore the pings. So we are talking about, even though we know it's not a good thing to do, we still are checking our smartphones all the time. Are you guilty of doing this? I've done it myself. Have you witnessed distracted driving? Have you been the victim on either end of distracted driving? And what do you think ought to be done to prevent distracted driving? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. As mentioned, surveys are showing that even though there are laws against it, distracted driving, such as texting while driving, is still happening. 27% of teens today still report texting and driving, even though there are laws against it. And this one's really frightening. 2 out of 3 teens, or 68% of teens, admit to using apps while driving, like Pokemon Go or other apps. And it's not just teens. Another poll found that the majority of adults admit to checking their phones while driving. So we're talking about why this is, and we'll get into what we can do about it, and we will welcome your questions and your feedback. Chris on Facebook says, "I don't answer my phone while driving, presumably. If I have to, I will pull over to the side of the road. I don't text when I'm driving. I only send one when I am out of the car and a short I'm on the way, and that's it. I don't even have a Bluetooth headset. If it's important, it can go to voicemail." So is Chris in the minority, Dr. Greenfield?
I would say yes. I would say Chris definitely is in the minority. I think that they're smart in the way they're doing it, but it's not a matter of intelligence, and it's not a matter of character or judgment or even intention, because a lot of the behaviors that people do are rather unconscious. So, in other words, people pick it up and act on these behaviors without really fully being aware, because in essence, they're operating on a neurobiologic reward system, and they're doing it, they're kind of drugged, for lack of a better word. It's a digital drug. They're not aware that their smartphone has conditioned their brain to respond that they are really almost a victim of.
Chris went on to say, "I can't tell you how many times I've had to ride in the ditch while cycling because someone on a cell phone was about to run me off the road."
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised. You are 7 times more likely to have an accident if you're using your smartphone while you're driving. The statistics are staggering. It surpassed the degree of impaired and distracted driving from alcohol. So the same swerving behavior that you see with intoxication, you see with smartphone use, because you're removing your eyes from the road. So you can't steer a car in any direction if you're not looking at the road. So although your hand, one of your hands, is still on the wheel, your eyes aren't. So the car is just going to go wherever your hand happens to take it. And this is how the majority of the accidents occur. People swerve and they hit people on the side of the road, or they cross the midline or the median and they hit somebody on the oncoming traffic.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, several years ago, I remember doing a show on distracted driving, and it was before the big cell phone push, or before the universal use practically of smartphones. And people were calling in and talking about how they witnessed, you know, someone putting mascara on, or they witnessed somebody eating their breakfast with, you know, a tray practically on their steering wheel, or reading a map and that sort of thing. So distracted driving has been around for forever, probably, but it really has gotten worse. Or has it since smartphones became so universal?
Well, you're quite right. Yes, distracted driving has always been around. I mean, people, in fact, when they first put a car radio in the car, people were concerned about it back in the old days. So the answer is yes. People, I've seen those people putting on makeup while they're driving, and I've seen people eating, and I've seen people shaving.
Right.
And so all of those behaviors are distractions, and they all belie the reality and the data that we know that there is no such thing as multitasking. You're 37% less likely to be able to process and comprehend and act on information neurologically if you're multitasking. So, you know, call it 40%. So your ability to focus on the task at hand, if you're doing a secondary task, is reduced considerably when you do something while you're driving. The other interesting phenomena is when we did the original research, when original research was done looking at drinking and driving, which is certainly a lot older in terms of our medical research looking at the impact of alcohol on driving behavior. The original studies showed that people consistently underestimate the amount of impact or impairment they're experiencing as they consume higher and higher amounts of alcohol. So these are controlled studies where they measure certain cognitive and motor tasks that would be required for driving. Well, the same goes for using the smartphone or other distractions while driving, but particularly the smartphone. In other words, people distort and have an under appreciation or an under awareness of the degree of impact or impairment that they're experiencing while they drive.
And now we are just in recent months now, or weeks, I should say, we're seeing concerns about distracted driving, you know, moving from just talking on a cell phone or worse, texting on a cell phone. But now, and this is probably younger people more so than older adults.
Yeah, the Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pokemon Go is just sort of the latest. It's a latest iteration because it involves a game that is linked to your GPS. So really, it really lends itself to being used while you're walking or driving. So there have been a number of accidents and there have been some deaths associated with Pokemon Go because video games in and of themselves are quite addictive. And then when you combine them with the smartphone, it sort of amplifies that synergistically. And, of course, if you're doing that in the car, then you're adding a level of danger that is
through the roof.
Quite, yeah, it really is through the roof.
I did a show on Pokemon Go, and I was I put it on my phone, and I was practicing just walking outside of the station just to kind of see how does this work. And I walked into a wall almost.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean, it's really...
Well, that's what people have walked into walls, off train platforms, into manholes, into rivers, because they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is that the reason why the human species has survived is because we have a degree of self-preservation that requires us to be hyper-vigilant for survival. But all of these devices short-circuit that natural survival because you're not able to be vigilant to your surroundings when you are distracted. And that's true whether you're driving or walking, or it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, and I mentioned the story on the air before. I have talked on my cell phone while driving. And one time I thought, I'm being perfectly safe here. I have my eyes on the road. I'm paying attention. I'm not speeding. I'm just getting some information from this person on the phone. And I missed my exit totally. Because
yeah.
Something's going on. You're just not, even though you think you're paying attention, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, that's correct. So when we first started doing research on the internet addiction back in the late 90s, this is before the internet, just as the internet was really heating up, one of the phenomena that we found with the internet, and the smartphone is no exception to this, is this phenomena called dissociation. We lose track of time and space when we're on these devices. So time passage is, and generally things that dissociate us or create a sense of distraction or dissociation or time distortion are generally psychoactive, meaning that they alter mood or consciousness.
There was so I guess I'm wondering what your thoughts are as an expert in this addiction and how it affects are driving, among other things. What do you think is the answer here? I mean, if even though we know it's dangerous and we do it anyway, even though there are laws against us and we do it anyway, what do you think we can do about this?
Well, there's four or five things that can be done, and you know, it's not like there's one thing that we can do that's going to solve it.
So what would be the top thing to do?
Well, obviously education is important. So people need to know that the smartphone is addictive. And I don't mean that everybody that's using one is addicted to it, but that there is a compulsive element to our use of this device that continues when we get into our automobile. So there has to be sort of a deep appreciation of the fact that you, if the phone is within arm's reach and something comes in or you want to send something out or you want to check something, there is a very high likelihood you will do it, okay? So that's being aware of that would allow you to make other choices.
Like put it in the back seat.
Exactly, or put it in the trunk or turn it off. So that's one solution. Another is there are freestanding apps and aftermarket apps that will, if you activate them, shut down the data stream while the car is moving. The only negative about those apps is that, you know, they're sort of self-regulated, so a lot of people can bypass them. But it's a good start. So and most of the telephone service providers, cell phone providers, have those apps. I know AT&T has an It Can Wait app, and there's many other freestanding ones from various people. The third would be for the phone manufacturers actually to design the phones in a way that would, and this technology is really already here, it would just be activating it where they could, where the phone would really recognize that you're in the driver's seat and shut down the data stream. That would be another thing that could be done. There are increased awareness and training of law enforcement on the importance of giving tickets and reminding people of the dangers of texting and driving, and then not just texting, but using all the digital features of the phone while they're driving. A lot of law enforcement have been heretofore reluctant to pull people over and give people tickets for this, but there's a growing movement to sort of train law enforcement to be more aggressive in upholding these laws. Ultimately, I think either making it illegal to pick up your phone, which it is in many states, and or requiring the phone manufacturers to have that data stream disabled if the phone is in the if the driver and the owner of the phone is in the driver's seat. I mean, ultimately, it may come down to that, because I'm not sure that when push comes to shove, people are going to be able to do this. I just think it is too compelling. And based on my research, that's what it appears to be.
Fascinating. Well, let's see what our listeners think about that. Do you think we have to make it illegal to pick up the phone in the car if you're the driver? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking about distracted driving, the problem of distracted driving, and what we can do about distracted driving when it comes to especially our smartphones. Dr. David Greenfield is our guest. He is the founder of the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction, assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of Connecticut School of Medicine. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. There is, we're checking around some various new laws that are being proposed in New Jersey. Lawmakers are asking for both hands on the wheel. I think essentially that's what it comes down to. If you're driving, you must have both hands on the wheel, trying to stop people from, you know, I guess using their other hand.
Right. Well, that would in effect prevent you from holding your smartphone unless you're going to put it in your teeth.
Do you think that, are they on the right path? Or?
Well, they are, although you could still use the voice activation features to do some of the digital behaviors that might distract you, although you won't be able to look at the phone unless the phone is mounted in a way that you could look at it. So, yes, it is an attempt to prevent people from holding the phone in their hand and then looking at it. I'm not sure it's going to solve it 100%. I mean, Vermont already has a law where you cannot have the phone in your hand when you're driving. So if a police officer sees you with the phone either up to your ear or looking in front of your eyes, it's less distracting to have it in your ear than looking in your eyes, because if you're tracking something with your eyes, you can't be tracking the road. It's not possible. So it's a first step. I think, again, these are all steps. Ultimately, I think making the phone not do what it does while you're driving would probably be the surefire way of doing it.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Dr. David Greenfield about driving while distracted, why we can't ignore the pings. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Talking about the dangers of distracted driving, which have multiplied with the advent of the smartphone and all the various apps that are there, and talking about why it is. When we know it's dangerous, we still check our smartphones. The majority of adults have admitted that they check their phones while driving. Are you among them? What examples can you share, or views on laws do you have? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about driving while distracted. More than 8 people are killed each day. More than 1,000 are injured by distracted drivers on a daily basis, according to the National Highway Traffic Administration. We are talking about distracted driving, especially when it comes to our smartphones, and wondering what we can do about it and how some states are responding to this issue. Talked a little bit about how New Jersey is talking about passing a new law that would require we have both hands on the wheel. There is a new push in Wisconsin. If a law enforcement officer sees you talking on a handheld cell phone while driving in a construction zone in Wisconsin, you could be pulled over and fined. Governor Walker has signed into law a bill that imposes a fine of $20 to $40 for drivers who get caught violating this new law. A second violation within a year would bring the fine up to $100. An exception is made for driving using a handheld cell phone in a construction zone if there is an emergency. We are talking with Dr. David Greenfield, who is an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of Connecticut School of Medicine and also the founder of the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction. He was recently interviewed for an article titled "Driving While Distracted: Why Can't We Ignore the Pings?" So this isn't using texting or using apps or anything else, but it is maybe small step in Wisconsin. No handheld cell phones while driving in construction zones in Wisconsin, Dr. Greenfield, in part because there have been several deaths of construction workers killed by people, and apparently many of those people were using their cell phones.
Yeah, that's, again, not surprising. Generally, most states have laws already on the books that double fines when you don't slow down in a construction zone because the reason is you need to slow down because there are distractions on the road and impediments on the road that you have to be more aware of. And the faster you go, the more likely there'll be an accident. But when you add the use of a smartphone that you might be picking up and looking at while you're driving, you're probably 7 times more likely to hit one of those people on the side of the road. So it makes perfect sense. And yes, there have been numerous deaths of construction workers, cyclists, other motorists, pedestrians. You name it, as you said, the statistics are 8 people a day, I can't remember the number, are dying from this. So all these people they're often pedestrians or people on the side of the road, but equal amount of the time they are other drivers. The stories are tragic. Because there are people that are just driving to work and somebody just crosses the midline and hits them head on.
We had a caller who just dropped off who was wondering about whether more laws are really the answer and how do we expect law enforcement to actually enforce all these new laws in terms of, don't have both hands on the wheel and all that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And our police officers already have their hands full with a million other laws that they have to try to uphold. And so I think it's part of the answer, but I think the caller is quite correct. It's not the whole answer because we don't have enough police officers or enough eyes on the road to convince or to shape the behavior of people enough to change their behavior. In other words, so I think educating the police officers and tightening up the laws is will be helpful, as it was with drunk driving. What got drunk driving to turn around, and why it's the number of deaths have dropped, is largely because of a grassroots movement called Mothers Against Drunk Driving. I mean, they were the sort of catalyst to the stricter laws that swept the nation. And, you know, we may see some of the same kind of thing with distracted driving and smartphones. But ultimately, not to be over-reliant on technology, it would be a lot simpler if the phone just didn't data stream while you're in the driver's seat.
Yeah. Let me go to Dale in Eau Claire. I think he wants to talk something along those lines. Hi, Dale.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to call and make a comment. It's basically just what he had just spoken there, what your guest had just said. I'm a truck driver. I see a lot of things on the road every single day all over the country in the area where I drive to, Wisconsin, Minnesota. And there's a lot of distracted driving, and 99% of it is cell phones. I'm just, you know, made the point of technology today in our vehicles, you know. Why can't there be something in the vehicle within the vehicle system where your phone's disabled? It won't work unless you're going to use 911.
Dr. Greenfield?
Well, the answer is that you can't. We can do that either through an app or actually built into the hardware or software of the phone itself. That technology already exists. The question is turning it on. I can't tell you why the cell phone manufacturers haven't either designed or enabled the phone to do that, but the ability to do that and the technology, whether on an app basis, software basis, or on a hardware basis, it is absolutely doable, at least to shut off the data stream. So you could make calls with your hands free, which I think is less distracting, but anything to do with data, like checking a text or an email or an app or anything else, would be shut off.
How do you determine if the I'm sitting next to my husband, but I want to look at Facebook and he's driving?
There's all sorts of ways. I mean, there are devices that get plugged in that have a feedback to a sensor in the driver's seat that's linked to your phone, so it knows that it's your phone and that you're in the driver's seat. There's also a system that's proposed that will use the camera on the phone, and if it sees the dashboard and it's your phone, it disables the data stream. And then there's just the plain programming the phone itself so that it shuts off when you reach a certain speed. Because of the GPS functions in the phone, there's an accelerometer in the phone that knows how fast you're going. So as soon as you go over 5 miles an hour, it shuts off the data stream. So there's all sorts of different technical solutions. And I'm not a technician, so I can't speak to all of the...
Right. And I guess I should probably just talk to my husband and look at the scenery and not Facebook while we're driving, too.
Well, that's far less distracting, yeah. Unless your husband is, like, amazingly handsome and you can't stop looking at him.
That's true. Katrina in Grand Chute is with us. Hello, Katrina.
Good morning. This is a wonderful subject. And my comment is... this is a people problem, and years ago, you would see couples that were fighting or having trouble with an unruly child or a pet, and so instead of pulling off the road, they would try to take care of these problems while they were driving, and of course, with the increased population and amount of traffic we deal yeah. with today, it is just not a good way.
Right. Thank you, Katrina. And those other forms of distracted driving are also against the law. There's a law against distracted driving in most states, Dr. Greenfield. But I guess our point, and you as our guest, is that this has been multiplied tenfold by the smartphone.
Oh, it's a completely different game. The smartphone has literally changed the game. And that's why this is so prominent right now, and why it's really rivaling the number of deaths from drunk driving. We've got a new technology creates new problems. I don't think this is a conspiracy. I don't think anybody expected this. This is just, nor did people realize that the internet and or the smartphone can be compulsive and can activate these centers of the brain that that are so dopaminergically enervated. These are unintended consequences, but they are not going to go away.
Pat in Madison is with us. Hello, Pat.
Hi. I wonder if, from a deterrent standpoint, it would be possible for people who actually cause serious accidents from distracted driving to have to address, you know, peer groups, like a young man who hit a number of us on the freeway once, road raging, and if he had to go into his class or some class and tell them the consequences to his mother's insurance and him losing his job and so forth, would that be somewhat of a help, you know, having a peer talk to peers?
Well, just a minute to go.
I mean, there are a number of people who, there is a book written by Matt Richtel who wrote about just such a guy who is now sort of being an outspoken advocate against distracted driving because he did kill two people. So I think that can be quite powerful. Whether requiring it or not, I mean, I'm not sure whether that would help, but I certainly think more people who do this, who have hurt or killed people that are speaking about it, certainly could be part of the solution. But again, I'm not sure that would be the whole solution.
Yeah. And until then, we have just 15 seconds to go. I suppose it can wait is also a tips that we can use right now. We don't have to pick up that phone.
It really can. But again, that's a logical statement, and a lot of this behavior is really not logical.
Dr. David Greenfield, who is the Center for Internet and Technology Addiction founder and an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.